Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Toyota has been building a legacy of excellence for years. From developing hybrid technology to upping the standards of safety and efficiency, Toyota is always innovating, always making progress. And with Toyota's superior lineup of SUVs in stock at your local Toyota dealer, you can experience the legacy for yourself. So check out an adventure-ready RAV4, designed to be the perfect mix of style, practicality, and go-anywhere attitude. Or test drive a capable and affordable Corolla Cross with the space and available tech to keep you cool and connected. And both RAV4 and Corolla Cross are available with all-wheel drive, giving you the freedom to roam. Quality, reliability, efficiency. That's the legacy of Toyota. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals, to find out more. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota. Let's go places.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, I know you're mad, but you can't take this away from the Kevin Stefanski Browns.
And Kenny's back at the movies. What classic from the early 80s did he watch and give a summary of?
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
You sure he's the one not dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Hopefully the audio sounds a little bit better. I want to start with that. I appreciate you guys going to find the podcast. We are having a situation where throughout the studios in our Odyssey Cleveland building, they are upgrading the equipment. It's a good thing. We're getting new boards. These are very big mixing boards. It's just what I call them so people kind of get a reference of them. I know they're not actually like mixing boards per se. But we are getting new boards, and it takes a little bit of time. So last week in the two podcasts we did, some of the audio, not too great, because we are currently working on our systems right now and upgrading our systems to get us better suited for 2025 and beyond. So we do appreciate you sticking with us, and hopefully this will be done. Hoping by the end of the week, maybe next week as well. So hopefully it won't be too much longer. We're brought to you again by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. If you're headed to the home and garden show over at the IX Center, go see them. They got the rustic barn. It's where they're in. Almost said in cahoots because of the last segment. They're in partnership with Weaver Barnes. So go ahead and check that out. I think you're going to like it. So you are getting people saying what in your mentions?
Boy, I didn't. Of all the fallout of this, everybody is putting out the resumes of Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, Paul DePodesta, and I did not think that it would ever come full circle on this.
Okay.
To see fans poo-poo the playoff win now for the Browns is just incredible.
I think you're just mad.
Consider what it has to be, because we lived it.
Yeah.
Wasn't that long ago.
It was emotional.
We were all there. Yes, there were no fans. It was a weird scenario. But we kicked their ass, and it was one of the proudest moments I've had as a Browns fan in my life. How often have we been able – we've had some stray victories over Baltimore, some stray victories over Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, plenty of wins over Cincinnati. But a playoff win on the road at Heinz Field should have been a house of horrors for us, where all week everybody thought, oh, God, this is going to go bad for us. Ben Roethlisberger was there, was starting, and everybody just was like, this is going to be a march to our death. And then we kicked their ass so thoroughly from the moment the game started to the point where we let our foot off the gas because it was in a playoff game. That's how dominant we were that we could even think about letting the foot off the gas. And now people are like, that game really didn't count. Like what? Where did this come from?
I agree with you. I think that that's – I think you're just mad. Not you. I think the people who are saying that, you're just mad. I think that if you have a little bit of time to relax and kind of look back on it, let's just not say things we can't take back.
We can't celebrate our good moments.
Yeah, you got to be able to celebrate that.
Like, all right, run, William, run doesn't matter because we lost to the Steelers.
We should have had more. 1-31 should have set you up for more, and they got in their own way. They got in their own way twice. They hired Freddie, which was a get-in-your-own-way move, and then obviously the trade of Baker. That was a get-your-own-way move, trading for Deshaun Watson, then trading Baker. It wasn't like they were traded for each other. Those were moves that got your own way, and here we are, and it's bad. But I'm not going to take away that 2020 win. That was Camelot compared to where we're at right now.
We can't just take away. We've had so few moments of joy. Like, even think about this year. And I've made fun of the victory fridge from time to time. Not that it was a great marketing gimmick. It was incredible.
I still have mine.
And I never got one. But I would love one.
Knock on wood.
But you can't just deprive us of everything because we're a losing team overall. You have to just give us those small victories. And like this year, the game against Pittsburgh, I mean, it was awesome. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
I know it was a terrible year. They won three games.
We still found a way to split. I mean, we did with the Ravens as well.
Yeah.
We still found a way to split with the Steelers. As bad as it was, we still found a way because, I mean, we had lost a bunch in a row there for a while. We still found a way to split with the Steelers.
And the Steelers season means nothing, too. So what? Their season turns out to be a total fraud. Yeah, they made the playoffs. Another year where they're better than the Browns. I totally get it. But judging this by the same way that our fans are now trying to judge this stuff.
That's a hell of a thing to say because – I remember, was it 2019, that year from hell, or was it, it was 2019.
Where Tennessee launched the season.
Where they lost to, and they lost to Duck Hodges.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And it was, I mean, I felt, you remember that part where
he lost to Zappy that year, too.
I think they were playing like the Animals or the House of the Rising Sun, and Jerry Reed and Waterboy is clutching the thing. Because I just knew I had hell to pay with Pony and all those guys over in Pittsburgh, including that one guy who hates me. I knew it was going to be a bad day the next day, and we lost to Duck Hodges. And I think a Steelers fan now, it's really come full circle. It's like, man, we lost to Jameis Winston in the snow to the Browns. They won three games. We lost one of those. One of their wins was against us. I think that's kind of the same feeling that we had in 2019. Like, I can't believe we lost to Duck freaking Hodges. No offense to that guy. But you get what I'm saying.
We have had just so few games. Playoff game.
Jameis was a former number one overall pick, so yeah.
That was our first playoff win since 1994.
Correct.
Yes. Last one was over the Patriots and Parcells.
Remember that? Remember listening to the postgame show? Mike Trevisano. I remember listening to that show, trying to call in. I couldn't get in.
You couldn't get through?
Could not get through. That's awesome. A playoff game.
That's awesome.
And so you go from 1994.
I can't believe you tried to call in.
To 2020. Holy blank. Yeah, 26 years between playoff wins. And now you're depriving me of the playoff win?
Find a way to.
You're depriving me of a playoff win on the road against Pittsburgh?
It should be.
Because what? We didn't win the Super Bowl that year? Okay.
It should be easy.
I guess there are no moments for any of these football teams to get excited about.
We all say things when we're mad. I said that I would welcome Joe Thomason as the executive vice president of player personnel at the end of the show today because I got a wild ass idea. Because
compared to what I texted Joe Thomas about a career move I would like to make if that was the case.
But, well, that's for another day. That's for another day. So, Yeah, I just take what positives we had out of this entire experience. Well, and
people have stricken the Kevin Stefanski coach of the years. People get so mad. Not everybody, but you're not even allowed to mention that he won two coach of the years as if he didn't win them, as if they mean nothing, well, as if he fluked his way into them.
There are, see, this is the thing about Kevin is, you know, and this is blamed right on top of those who preceded us. Like when I always talk about loaded language, I said, what did I say today? And I was like, that could be misconstrued. Let me fix it because that could be loaded in the wrong way. Almost like, I think it was one of the Miles conversations we had today. But I said, I got a lot of heat a few weeks ago because I said, you know, the two-time coach of the year should be able to coach him up. Two-time coach, and you know, you say that. And there's people like, well, this is just lowest common, not people who, I mean, it's the internet, right? And I said, I go, no. You're just hearing a guy complain and say he's the two-time coach of the year. You didn't catch any of the context of the clip where I'm saying, yes, why is he the two-time coach of the year? Because he's done well with quarterbacks. Because anytime they've had reasonable quarterback play in 2020, when he, in so many ways, resurrected Baker's career from 2019, in 2023, where, in so many ways, Joe Flacco found a new lease on life with the Cleveland Browns, he gets those coaches of the year because of the quarterback. So, yes, if I wanted a quarterback that bad, I should reasonably be able to put the pressure on my coach to say, this is a guy, make this guy palatable, and then take off with him for the next level. That's what I was trying to examine. But people hear two-time coach of the year so much, one, they just think that it's a catch-all for idiots to go after him. Or two, they are not idiots. I was going to say they're on the other side. Or two, they're so sick and tired of hearing it, anybody who says it, they just block it out. Because it's like, okay, how many guys have won coach of the year and been fired? Because, you know, it's like we always make the joke in the Big Ten. Who's the last Ohio State coach to win coach of the year?
Oh, man.
I thought it was like since Woody.
Yeah, because Trestle and Urban didn't win it.
I think that was one of the things that, like, Ohio. I know, like, Dave Biddle and those guys would make jokes and go, oh, yeah, you know, Jim Trestle won a national championship, was just never good enough in the Big Ten. Urban Meyer won a national championship, just never seemed to be good enough in the Big Ten. For what, like, they made that joke. And
but those Coach of the Year awards weren't just gifted to Kevin Stefanski because the league felt bad for him and didn't want to give it to a bunch of good coaches that are out there.
I think if he took over for the Steelers, he might not have got two Coach of the Year because of the situation.
You don't think the first one, I think the first guy to take the Browns to the playoffs was going to it could have been Ken. If Ken would have somehow been put in as coach and they got into the playoffs. And had they been like, say the AFC North was just a horrible division and they were the team that went 8-9 or 9-8 and lucked into winning the division, he was going to win coach of the year that year. Last year's though, with five quarterbacks, that's a much different story. Yeah. With the trading of all the assets for the franchise. And then you have to win with other guys. With P.J. Walker.
And I have to give him credit.
With Dorian Thompson
and
Robinson.
You want to get the 49ers against with P.J. Walker as your quarterback. I think that was the one. Because, you know, you could look back on it and say, Baker's the number one overall pick. You got the best out of Baker. That's fine. But to go through five different QBs, four of which you won with, and navigate that season and get to the playoffs, that's good work. And I think that's part of the reason that it frustrates a Browns fan. It's going, and then you made what moves? You got rid of your coaches over this? So did you take power away from Kevin when you were able to find a way to go out and compete with those quarterbacks? Like, why would you take power away? And I think that's somewhat of what makes fans frustrated.
I have no problem. I know. I'm just saying, lastly on this, I have no problem if you don't think Kevin Stefanski is the coach of the future for the Browns. I have no problem if you think he's even overrated. You cannot look at the coach of the years and try to pass them off as if those seasons were not earned.
Yeah.
Okay, you just can't. You can't do that. You can do all the other things, fine. Say you just don't think he's going to be good with the Browns going forward. Put this year on him. Put the Deshaun Watson's fall. Put it on him. Okay. Fine. But not that.
Can I do an old movie review before we go?
Okay.
Because he's got to be truncated because of the quality, because I know we're working on some stuff. I saw a movie. So I watched the Big Chuck and Little John special because Big Chuck just passed away last week. Watched the special. Thought it was good. But before, the Cavs weren't playing on Friday, so I had some downtime. And I said, damn it, I'm going to do it. I think it might have been on Plus, Paramount Plus. I watched First Blood for the first time in 30 years at least. The last time I watched it was with my dad. Love it.
And what is the premise again?
Love the movie. John Rambo, great name. He's you can tell at the very beginning of the movie he's trying to find his friend. And he's like hitching through Oregon to find his friend. His friend clearly lives in Oregon. And his friend has died. Spoiler alerts here, guys. This movie was made in 1982. He's hitching through Oregon. And he goes to find his friend. His friend has passed, sadly. And I think he's like the last out of his... Unit?
Platoon, yeah.
Yeah, it's platoon. He's the last out of his platoon, and they were like special forces, Green Berets. Like, he was a killing machine. And Brian Dennehy is the sheriff in this town in Oregon, and it's called Hope, Oregon. And he just gives him a hard time for no reason. Like, he looks... It's so weird because...
Such a Dennehy move.
Well, it's... I think this movie would not have this plot in 2025. Because you don't treat veterans like this in 2025. Like Brian Dennehy pulls up in a...
Is that true, Owen?
You do not treat him like that.
I don't know. I mean, I've had people throw water bottles at me and all kinds of crazy stuff.
What about your trips to the Reed Medical Center?
Of course.
So anyway...
Stokes.
I would hope that a police officer would not be like this. Because, like he picks him up for vagrancy. He drives him to the end of town and like drops him off there. He's like, any place to eat around here? He's like, yeah, there's a town 30 miles up the road. Like, you ain't welcome here. And then John Rambo goes to walk back over the bridge. Brian Dennehy arrests him, charges him with vagrancy, and trumps up a couple of other charges. And then they proceed to treat him like garbage until he snaps right there in the police station. And the only person who dies is a guy who dies on his own right, falling out of a helicopter, trying to kill John Rambo. Because he runs off on a motorcycle or on a dirt bike. They chase him up the mountain. Then they send dogs after him. And he's in the woods, and now he's in his element. And he just hurts all of them, and he, like, pulls up on Brian Dennehy with a knife. And he's like, I could have killed all of you. And, like, it was, like, amazing. He's so good in the movie. And I said, God, this... I hate Brian Dennehy in this movie. It's like, how dare you? Like, the guy has a
Big Tom Callahan?
Yeah, I know, man. Because I forgot.
Bobby Knight?
I forgot just how sinister it seems. Because it's like, dude, if you saw a guy walking down the street in Oregon who had a U.S. Army jacket on, if you even said anything or just let him go by himself, if you were a cop, you go, excuse me, do you need help? And actually... help a veteran. You wouldn't do that. But this is 1982 when this movie was made, so maybe some people felt differently about Vietnam at that point, maybe. I'm not sure. Because I kind of went back, and I'm sure there were other movies that tackled PTSD, but The Deer Hunter is the only movie that I know of that's a very popular movie that tackled Vietnam, post-Vietnam PTSD. Full Metal Jacket, Born on the 4th of July, came afterwards. And Full Metal Jacket was... I guess the PTSD or where someone loses their marbles happens in basic training. Mm. So that's the horrors of Vietnam. That's not necessarily, you know, afterwards. We know about the Born on the 4th of July. So this is like one of the first movies. And he says at the end, like, people throwing things at me when I got off the plane here. And it was like, man, I feel bad. It's a great movie, though. It's great action. He is awesome.
Is it better?
I mean, you are cheering for John Rambo.
Is it better than Predator?
I think it is better than Predator.
I just remember watching Predator so much, HBO, when I was young.
I think First Blood, because Mitch loves movies. Mitch is too, I think, nervous to talk movies, or maybe we just never gave him the chance. Mitch loves movies. What did Mitch say? He goes, it's weird where they, he goes from a guy who's suffering from PTSD where they just make him a killing machine in the other Rambos.
I was going to ask you how many other sequels there were.
I remember
watching one like 8 years ago.
Well, they did three, and then they've come back with two more?
Yeah. If you think about Stallone, well, he did one as an old guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they've done two as an old guy. I don't know. I get them and Creeds and Rockies and all that.
Well, mixed together. Because in so many ways, like Cobra.
Yeah.
You know.
It's no Tulsa King, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I think it's probably my second favorite. Well, if I'm including all the Rockies, maybe my third favorite Stallone movie. Rocky 1, Rocky 2, First Blood. Because there's actually like something that, like over the top is over the top. If you're arm wrestling for custody, you
gotta love that movie.
Where does Stop or My Mom Will Shoot rank in there?
Okay, you know what? Different power ranking. That's number two.